Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Some of my pastoral and preaching friends have shared a video a number of times through various social media channels. I've certainly shared it myself. It's a video that I can't show to you because we're not licensed for that, and this particular group is careful with their licensing. But I do want to describe it to you because I think I can do it justice. You see, it's if you search for it yourself, by the way, just Google "honest preacher" and you'll see. It's a less than 2 minute video about a pastor who maybe is in a little bit of a more formal church. He walks in and steps onto the lectern. You'll see that he's wearing a robe and a stole, and he gets up and he opens his Bible and he says, "Today's reading is from Proverbs," and then he pauses and he closes his Bible and he sets it down and he says, I just want to talk off the cuff for a moment. And then you sort of see this visible change. He says, "You guys, stop! Don't do bad things. This is most of his sermon saying, knock it off." He opens his Bible at one point, says, "Jesus says, quit it." And it's this really hilarious video for me because sometimes I want to say that stuff. Now, one of the things he does in the video that I certainly wouldn't do, one, because I don't have any reason to, and two, because it's wildly inappropriate, but he points out one guy in the congregation and says, "Dan, if you don't know, Dan is the worst." But sometimes when we're in a community of faith, and sometimes, especially if you find yourself in a position of leadership or a position of authority, sometimes you have these visions for what you want to see happening. You have these visions for the success that your organization or particularly your church might experience. Sometimes you feel this sense, this divine lure or call of God to growth and vitality and discipleship. And then when those things don't happen in exactly the way that you envision them, you begin to feel frustrated. And sometimes in that, and I would project this on the preacher in this video, you inappropriately enter into a time of blame. It's still a funny video, though. Now, I don't know if it's appropriate or inappropriate, but that sermon, in a way, sums up the Apostle Paul in the text we're reading today. Where it seems an awful lot like Paul in this third chapter of the first letter to Corinth, it seems an awful lot like Paul saying, "Quit it! Knock it off! Stop being bad!" But listen to Paul's words as he recalls some of what he wrote in the first chapter of this same letter and how he frames an argument to say, "Listen, you don't know all there is to know yet." Now, I confess that when I read this particular section, you can receive it like an insult. It seems in some ways maybe Paul's saying, "You're just a child and you don't know what you're doing yet." Hear that, but also hear a bit more as Leanne reads.
"Brothers and sisters, I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people, but like unspiritual people, like babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink instead of solid food because you weren't up to it yet. Now you are still not up to it because you're still unspiritual. When jealousy and fighting exist between you, aren't you unspiritual and living by human standards? When someone says, I belong to Paul, and someone else says, I belong to Apollos, aren't you acting like people without the Spirit? After all, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants who helped you believe. Each one had a role given to them by the Lord. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Because of this, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. But the only one who is anything is God, who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together. But each one will receive their own reward for their own labor. We are God's co-workers, and you are God's field, God's building.
Now, on one hand, we hear this text, and I heard the giggling a little bit, because first Paul seems to call people, maybe by extension us, you're just babies. You're just a bunch of babies. I can't give you all, maybe, that you would want to have because you're not ready for it yet. And frankly, even though I started out thinking of you as not even spiritual beings, you're not even there yet, right? That's where you laughed a little bit. But I wonder how many of us actually feel that way. That maybe we're not ready for it yet. Maybe we're not ready for what it is that God has to tell us, for what God has to teach us. I want to take, frankly, a bit of a confessional moment. This, as you know, is the first church where I've been appointed as the lead pastor, the place where the buck stops. And if you remember the very beginning of this sermon series, I expressed some anxiety that I experienced about being the one where the buck stops. The confessional moment is this. I have a profound fear of failure. And times when the church doesn't grow in the way I want it to, when a program doesn't take off in the way I want it to, when there's not a response to an idea of mine that I would, you know, envision to see, to be honest, I take that personally. It's not because anybody intends that. That's my baggage. That's my stuff. But like in a confessional sense, sometimes I worry. Sometimes I worry that I'm not a very good pastor. Sometimes, and I'm not soliciting compliments. You all are very nice to me, and I don't want the response to this message to be about me, because this church is not about me, and the response to this message should not be about me. I want to be clear about that, because this church is not about whoever stands up here and talks for 20 minutes. You may remember that I wrote an article in our newsletter a couple months ago. A couple people came up to me and were a little bit concerned about it, because I talked about the appointment system. And I talked about how in the United Methodist tradition, pastors move from time to time. And a couple people came up to me and said, "You're not preparing us for anything, are you?" "No, I'm not. I haven't received any word that I'm moving. I have your SPRC, and I have asked to stay for at least another year. You know, I'm up every year. There's an opportunity, but we've all asked, you know, that this remain together as we continue to grow together." But the early United Methodist Church, the tradition of the circuit riders, was one such that there was one pastor who would ride around to a number of churches, sometimes across a broad geographic area. And a pastor might visit one or two churches on a Sunday, again, often with some distance in between. But, you know, if a pastor is pastoring 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 churches, you know, seeing them once a month is even a stretch. And so who's in charge when that traveling preacher isn't there? Who's in charge when the traveling preacher isn't there? Friends, it's you. And as we've been engaging in this sermon series, we've talked about how God empowers us, how God reminds us that we are not lacking, that we already have all the gifts that we need, that God has already given us those things. We are reminded that we are called to live out our lives as ministers of the gospel, that we are all called to do something. And some may be called to this thing, and some may be called to a kind of administrative ministry, and many are called to a musical ministry, and some are called to a technical ministry. We are all called to some kind of ministry. We are all called to respond to the transformation that God makes possible within us. We are called and empowered and gifted and given the opportunity to live as though Jesus matters. To live as though we have actually received the risen Christ, that we have been transformed by the risen Christ, and do something with that change. But sometimes we still mess it up. Sometimes we still take the wrong step. Sometimes we still make stuff about us when it's not. That's what I do. Sometimes we stumble, and sometimes we falter, and sometimes we absolutely, without a doubt, fail. The good thing is that God is still there. The good thing is that God is still present. The good thing is that God is still working. The good thing is when we hear these words about being unspiritual or about being babies, about being those little seedlings just barely planted and not able to do anything, the good thing is when we are in that place, when we recognize that spiritual immaturity perhaps within ourselves, that maybe that's okay. As long as we don't stay there. As long as we don't decide, all right, I'm just a spiritual baby, that's who I am, I'm just going to own it, and I'm not going to put any effort into being something different. Paul offers a number of metaphors in this text. And he talks about babies. He talks about being unspiritual. He talks about being planted. He talks about watering to make it grow. So there's a plant metaphor. He even gets into building at the very last verse, the very last part of the last verse. And do you know what we might see as sort of a connecting idea between all of those things? Is they're all things that in one way or another grow. They're all things that require nurturing and work and foundations or planting and things that do not end up the way they begin. If you have had the privilege of being a parent, you know that babies need a lot of work. Like, however, if you have not had the privilege or the honor of being a parent, however much work you think it is, it's at least twice that. Maybe more. If you have had the privilege of being a parent and you look back on being a parent because that was a little while ago, I'm talking even about me. My youngest is 10 years old. Like, how I remember how much work it is, it's probably twice that too. It's a lot of work. It's a ton of work. I see some current moms nodding their heads going, yes! But that's not the end. It's not like these little tiny humans are exactly that, needing all that work their whole lives long. One of the most amazing privileges I, as a parent, have ever experienced is to see my own child make their own decisions and do things out of compassion and grace and things that I'm positive that child didn't learn from me. Because they're just good kids. And maybe we've experienced that too. See, because they don't all remain the way they start out. but it takes the work. Now, maybe you're not a parent, but maybe you're somebody who loves life and gardening. And you know that before you even plant a seed, you've got to work the soil. You've got to make sure it's right enough to nurture whatever it is that you're going to plant. And then you've got to spend time watering and weeding. And it takes work, it takes energy, it takes love, it takes compassion. Maybe if you've ever worked in construction, you know that long before the 2x4s and framing start to happen, there's deep work in the earth on a foundation to build a solid base on which to build whatever it is that's being constructed. And it takes time, and it takes energy, and it takes creativity, it takes compassion, and perhaps, my friends, it even takes a bit of love to create this thing that's being built. If you are someone who's a musician, especially if you're someone who creates a song, maybe it's a song with words or not, that song doesn't just pop into your brain one time. There are sections, at least in my experience, there are sections that show up. I write songs with words, so the words don't necessarily show up at the same time in the music, and you have to assemble and create and go into this process. It doesn't just start. It has to grow and be nurtured, and it becomes something. And perhaps, as Paul is helping us with these metaphors, part of what we can take from this is that if we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ, even if we feel like we're just babies in the faith, even if we feel like we're unspiritual, even if we feel like we've only taken the smallest steps, maybe there's hope in the possibility that we can grow and that there's work to be done in it. That the leaders and companions on the journey around us might work and nurture and guide us, but we too have to choose to put in the time and the energy and the effort. One of the things that I've been really excited about, particularly under Adam Marshall Lopez's leadership, is we've had some small groups that have been connecting with people in some new and exciting ways. Now, in some ways, there are some groups that are meeting in homes or here at the church, and that's what we'd expect, and that's sort of the tradition. But also, about a month and a half ago, put together a digital group. We used an app called Marco Polo, and we just talked to each other through our mobile devices, and it was beautiful, and people were vulnerable, and people connected with one another, and it was great. Adam's looking at ways for us to engage in a digital sense coming up during our Lenten study on gratitude, according to the book by Diana Butler Bass. How can we connect with each other? And how can we connect with each other in ways where we have the opportunity, indeed the drive, to grow? How can we nurture the seed that is planted or the foundation that's been laid beneath us? How can we undergird the creative baseline or chord progression with words of growth and discipleship and hope? How can we grow to be fully committed disciples of Jesus Christ? How can we take a step towards something more, towards something deeper, toward the next thing? There's a series of steps that we've talked about. I've written about it in various blog posts and newsletter articles. I've talked about it in various sermons. And I don't know if I'm just not pushing it the right way or I'm trying not to take it personally. Just maybe it's not the right idea, but I haven't come up with a better one yet. But there are four steps that I've talked about in terms of a pathway towards discipleship. And we have a slide that I'd like to make sure that I share with you. I'm sure this is a familiar slide. If it's not, well, here it is again. The idea that maybe our first step is when we gather together, where we explore the idea that I'm new to PBUMC or maybe to any church. And I come to worship and maybe a few other things. And maybe that's the first step on our journey of faith. But maybe that second step is about that growth where we say, well, I'm ready to go deeper. My faith is changing me and I've become to get more involved. Maybe we might see ourselves on that third step or if we're on that second step to look toward that third step where the word is give. And step three says, I'm ready to commit fully and give him my time and spirit in covenant with my faith community. And then if we find ourselves in that step, perhaps the next one might be, I'm ready to walk daily with Christ, to share my gifts, my leadership, and my faith freely. I would invite you to take 10 or 15 seconds right now and think about where you are on that four-step graph. Take 10 or 15 seconds right now and read through them and consider where you see yourself. And now that you've taken that time, and maybe you're not 100% sure, maybe if you have a sense of where you might be, also look at where your next step might be. Now, you see that it's a circle. If you already find yourself on that fourth step, if you already find yourself ready to walk daily with Christ, ready to share your gifts, your leadership, and your faith freely, great, let me know, because I'd like to put you in a leadership position so that you can help others along those steps. Do you see how that cycles? I think part of Paul's message to us in this third chapter in the first letter to the church in Corinth is the reminder that we must grow, that we cannot be stagnant, that if we are to be fully committed disciples of Jesus Christ, then we are called, compelled, not to be exactly the same throughout our life of faith, but as the Spirit grows in the world, that we might grow too, that we might experience that change and respond. I invite you, friends, to consider how you are called to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. Holy God, as we experience the movement of your Spirit in this place, fill us with your presence and your compassion. Fill us with your peace and your hope. Remind us that we are loved. As we connect with those not only here in this room, but digitally and across distance, let us be strengthened by the Spirit of your connecting love so that we might know more fully the community of faith. God, as we are connected as this community of faith, we lift up these prayers of this community. Holy God, we offer these prayers to you, knowing that your good work is already begun. We offer these prayers and those that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer brought to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.